This is once a week, it takes about 6 weeks. In fact, it was about that time. Unless you, you know, slept it out, whatever. Okay. This is besides your Hilchos Nida and besides your Chashan Shmuz. So this is Shalom Shabbat Shmuz, and let's share some thoughts with you. The first, you said all of Shalom Bias is that Shalom Bias only works if you're willing to work. So whatever I say over here will work if you're willing to put effort into it. If you just, I had a guy who was like all gung-ho about these shurim. He was so gung-ho, he made a copy of them and he sent them to his brother-in-law and this and that. And he found that his marriage is very simple because he didn't want to work. A very exciting thing on paper, but the mice when it came down to it, he didn't want to work.
You're not happy that he was publicizing your shurim and then...
Yeah, I was not very happy. Was, you see, he has a certificate of being a good husband from every angle, you know. Anyway. Okay, the first thing which we do the famous question is, marriage is. And you're supposed to fill in the blank. So we'll give you a few seconds to gather your thoughts. Tell me what you think marriage is. If you haven't thought about that question yet. I'll give you my answer. Marriage is a shortcake. That's really a shortcake. Happiness is, you know, love is.
Right.
Marriage is
a connection.
Marriage is a connection. Good. I'll say the same thing if you want.
Opportunity to fulfill your potential in growth.
Okay, nice. The answer which I give, my wife and I give, have given, is that marriage is an opportunity to become a no-sin. Persons come to this world as a no-tail, and through the person's steps of his life, he's going to become a no-sin. You go from being very self-focused to become more aware of the people around you. A little baby wakes up his parents in the middle of the night without any compunction because his focus is totally on himself. The definition of maturity is being responsible for other people. Being responsible because of the other people. It's awareness of other people. So marriage takes it to the next step, and I mentioned today in the Ovashir, one of the biggest challenges for Bokharim is to change from being pretty much self-focused, and so, which is what Bokharhood is, to marriage where it's not self-focused anymore. Creates a whole different level of a human being. A human being which is not self-focused, he's focused on somebody else. So marriage is a great thing because it's an opportunity to give 24/7, 365, even on Shabbos.
He does it before the engagement.
That's right. Okay, now, some people will tell you the Shalom Bayis is difficult. Some people tell you the Shalom Bayis is easy. And the important cloud they say in life about marriage is that marriage is not as easy as people think it is, not as hard as people might say it is. Okay, it's important. So people love to fetch. So you know, that's part of the culture of the society to fetch about, you know, this. So it's not as bad as people say it is. I'm going to give you one rule in marriage, which basically will solve all of your problems. And I'm going to tell you why it's so easy, why it's so hard. The one rule in marriage is a very simple rule. The rule is, kol ma'aseh ani lo chayav kol tzavut. Whatever you don't like being done to you, don't do to somebody else. So it makes it very simple. You don't like being yelled at, don't yell at your wife. You don't like being ignored, don't ignore your wife. You don't like being spoken down to, don't speak down to your wife. You don't like being blamed, but don't blame your wife. Very simple, right? So why is it so difficult? Just keep that rule in mind. You'll just have great shalom bayis. So I'll tell you why it's difficult. Rabbi Chaim Shapiro says that I always use every guy who ever speaks to the final day. I use the exact same story. You think I get a new story right now? Zabudovsky uses the same joke over and over again also, so it's also bad. So Rechaim Shapiro in his book Call My Son has this story where he's traveling in somewhere in Inner Mongolia or Outer Mongolia, and he's walking along the road and he sees there's a fellow sleeping on the side of the road, and it's dirt road and it's wet and it's muddy, and the wagon wheels are throwing up mud onto the fellow's face. He's sleeping on the side of the road, he's being splattered with mud. He says, do the fellow a favor, he shouldn't be crossed with mud on his face. He goes and takes the blanket which the fellow is sleeping under, and he moves it over to the person's face. Okay? Nice Jewish boy doing chesed with some boy in the middle of nowhere. Okay? The next thing which happens is somebody jumps at him from behind and starts screaming at him, you're killing my brother. So they thought, you know, they're trying to suffocate him. So he explained what he's doing, and the guy's screaming, you're killing my brother. And he said, I'm not killing your brother, I'm trying to help your brother, you know. And we're having this conversation, trying to figure out exactly what is going on. Essentially, finally he figures out that these people have a religion which they believe that when the person goes to sleep, the soul leaves the body to the face. And if a person's face is covered in their sleep, the soul cannot return to the body. So covering the face when the person is sleeping is a tantamount to murder. So he thought he was doing a chesed, and these people, in this people's culture, it was perceived as murder. So in different cultures, different actions are perceived differently. Because I'll say Nashim are Ambis and Absalom. Women are a different nation. They have a different culture.
What do you say that?
Tumor and Shabbos. In the sixth paragraph. So in what you might think is being chesed in a different culture is something which is not considered a chesed. It's considered roxorious. And you might think being polite, it's being impolite, etc. So the challenge is, and this is probably your biggest nesina, is to learn to see the world through somebody else's eyes. Because the biggest avoider of becoming a nesina is to be aware, not so much of projecting your thoughts and desires and interests on somebody else, but really hearing what their thoughts and interests and desires are. And people love to listen to truly. And that's a great skill which you will learn, which will play you a great step when you're dealing with your children and with dealing with other people, etc. So it's a wonderful thing to learn. And so now we're going to say a rule which you must remember. This is one of the main rules that you have to remember. Communication is not what you said, it's what the other person heard. So you're trying to communicate effectively with your wife, you say, well, I clearly expressed to you, it doesn't mean it was clearly expressed to her. Because if she hears it with a different type of an ear, she has to figure out how her ear works. Communication is not what you said, what the other person heard. Okay. Maybe you'll give me an argument that says, why is that my responsibility? You know, I'll just say it the way I'm supposed to say it and let her figure it out. Why is it my responsibility? So Rick Kreiser has a good line which I like very much, and I appropriate its use in this group, and that is that the difference between the boss and an employee. Between the boss and the employee is very simple. Is at the end of the day, if there's a big glitch, the employee goes home and the boss still stays to work out the problem. Because the buck stops here. And he has responsibility. So, most guys want to be, guys like to be the boss in their own home. That's great. You want to be the boss, you got to take responsibility. If you want your wife to be the boss, that's fine. But if you want to be the boss, you take responsibility at the end of the day. Okay. So what we're going to do now is we're going to, therefore, try to explain some of the ways that women's culture is different than men's culture. And that will give you insight into how when you think you're communicating effectively, but you have to be, you're not, because, or how you have to do it to be effective, communicate effectively to this person who speaks only Chinese. Basically, there's a book out there on the market, the second book, Women, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. I don't necessarily recommend you read the book. I've read through most of the book. I agree with many of the points that he says, not all of them. But that's the theory behind that book, is that men are it's a different world. You know, because I'll say different cultures, he has them as different worlds. I never met a Mars, anyway from Mars, I've been reading. so I don't know how they worked. I do know that in America, if you somebody has to do one thing, you say thank you. It doesn't necessarily mean yes or no. It means thank you for the offer. In South Africa, it means yes. So just be careful. You go to South Africa, and somebody says, you guys have to say, oh, thank you. They'll put it on your plate. Okay. Okay, difference, the order, the differences which are going to present are in no specific order. We're going to present six differences between men and women, or seven. Some of them are much more global type of differences, some are more specific. And the first difference is the difference between men and women. Again, there's no man which is totally man, and no woman which is totally woman. You know, this, but for the most part, you'll have feeling versus logic. Right. So that feeling versus logic creates many types of, it's a very global difference. It creates a difference between, so the first thing is you have a discussion about something and the man will present a logical argument, the woman will present an emotional argument. Okay, that's the easy one. That also means a woman needs to feel something. So you have to be there for your wife, but she has to feel that you're there for her. It's not enough that she should logically figure out that you're available for her. Well, I go to work and I spend many hours of the day being there, being responsible for my wife, and just for my wife and my kids, but they don't feel that you're there for them. What do you do to make them feel like that? Many of these concepts which we are talking about now apply to children also, not just to wives. They apply to children also. Okay, so let's take an example. You don't like being ignored, your wife doesn't like being ignored. So when she's talking, she wants you to listen. Her definition of listening is different than yours. So emotional. So your wife is talking to you, and while she's talking to you, you're looking at the mail. It's a very important piece of mail, which you need to take care of and you know, to overdo. And you know, you're looking to her, and at the same time, you're flipping through the mail, whatever it is. And she says, will you please listen to me? And you listen, say, I am listening to you. And I'll prove it to you. And you repeat verbatim what she just said. Now, it's impossible to repeat verbatim what she just said unless you heard what she said. You see, you were listening to her. You have proven without any shadow of a doubt, logically, that you were listening to every word that she said. And what will she say? Well, you're not listening to me. And you say, that's not true. I was listening to you. You're having an argument which is a total waste of time because that's not what she's really saying. She's not saying that you're not listening to me. She's saying, I don't feel that you're listening to me. And I want to feel that you're listening to me. So I want you to give me feedback. I want you to give feedback through eye contact. I want you to give feedback through responsive. I want you to give me. You know, you have these conversations between a parent and a son, a mother and a son. You know, the mother will say something, and the son will like, give us like, you know, you know, and the mother will say, well, you know, did you hear what I said? Yeah. Well, why didn't you say so? He says, why should I say I didn't hear what he said? Like, you know, sometimes the conversation was going between, you know, teenage boys and their mothers. And like, the mother said, I need to know, I need to feel it, that you're there with me. There's times that you're sitting in the same room with a spaced out look, and you're probably, you might be listening at night, doesn't mean anything to me, it doesn't help me. I want to feel it. By the way, fathers are certain point in life. Visibly teenage sons have the same problem. Teenage sons, and teenage girls, I don't know, but teenage boys, you know, I know about something interesting. Okay, you don't have sisters, right? Mm-hmm. You have a sister, right? Okay, watching a woman, the difference between a man and a woman on the receiving end of a phone call is fascinating. So you have the man on the receiving end of a phone call. Mm-hmm. I'm here. Yeah. I told you I'm here. Yeah, I think it's important. Yeah. Yeah. That's a man. Woman. Oh. Really? Wow! Thank you so much! That's beautiful! It's through my experiences. It's through my experiences. A woman gives feedback. She knows that the person wants to feel she's being listened to, she gives feedback. So understanding the difference between feeling versus logic has not created a whole new experience of how you listen to your wife. So it's not just, you know, feeling versus logic. It creates, again, the issue is you don't like being ignored, don't ignore your wife, or her definition of being ignored is different. One example. Okay, so your wife, you come in on the day and your wife starts telling you, know, it was such a hard day because Baruch this morning, he made a major mess, you know, because he didn't like the clothes that I put out and he got upset and, you know, the whole thing went on and on, and you know, finally she just made the carpool by the last minute and she was wiped out already before the day started because she had such a big fight with Baruch and he's only 2 years old and it's ready, he's giving me such a hard time. So what does a man do? He starts thinking of solutions, how it shouldn't be a problem for his wife to have to deal with Baruch in the morning. She says, you know, I think maybe what we should do is we should give Baruch a reward system. Or he'll say something like, you know, maybe we'll put out Baruch's clothes the night before so he'll get to see what it is when he's, you know, not in such a feisty mood. He's ready to fall asleep. He says, Baruch, this is what you're going to wear tomorrow. And I'll come up with different ideas on how to deal with Baruch's fight about the clothes. Right? And his wife starts getting upset at him. So, you know, what did I do wrong? Well, it's very simple. The logical thing is when somebody presents you with a problem, the logical thing is trying to find a solution. A woman doesn't want a solution. She wants you to feel with what she went through. She wants empathy. So feeling versus logic tells you that the correct response to this type of conversation is that must have been a really hard thing to do. He must have set you off guilty, and you went to school feeling guilty that you're ready to have a fight with your kid. You know, you went off to the day. You know, it must have been such a difficult day for you. You understand her feelings. Then you can, and some other time, you say, okay, after she feels that you're there and you're aware of her feelings, etc., she says, okay, you know, do you have any ideas how we can deal with this? So, feeling versus logic is concrete versus abstract. Many women are much more aware of the practical elements of how I'm dealing with something than men are. What? This is all still in one. Right? Feeling versus logic. So the logic is you deal with the abstract concepts, and feeling is you're dealing with the very physical things you can touch. Feeling. There's a feeling on the inside of much emotion, the sense of it's something that there's a clear sensory perception, the sensory feedback from it. So again, it's here for the ladies. They explain the concept behind the concept. So, are you allowed to peel this type of vegetable in yomtov or not? Well, they don't want to know the theory. They want to know the practical lemaisa. What's the halacha? How do you, you know, they're going to translate a concept into very practical terms. So you have this deep philosophical conversation, and for a woman, it's going to hinge on what is the practical application of it. Someone she can sink her teeth into it. There's a physical element to it. Okay. That's a few examples of... And then there's the famous one of... you think of feeling versus logic. Women are sometimes... I do something which seems to men to be counterintuitive. Okay, so husband doesn't tell his wife he's coming home late, and he walks in the door an hour late, and she's all upset. She says, I didn't know what happened to you, I was so worried about you, and I was so overwhelmed, and I was ready to call the hospital to see maybe the hospital showed me in an accident, and he says, you know, how can you do this to me? And, you know, she's like, you know, it's like, you know, the logical thing was the fellow had a conversation with somebody, got lost track of time. That's it. That's probably what happened. The chances of being an accident are probably 1 out of 1,000. That's like not even 1%. Right? It's 0.1%. That's not a logical thought process. But emotionally, it's a very overwhelming thing. So the next thing which happens is the wife takes the pill and she bops the guy over the head. The guy says, you know, the reason why you're so overwhelmed is because you love me so much. So why are you hitting me if you love me? That's a very logical thought process. But the mice, that's not going to work when it comes to the world of emotion. I guess the guy could try it. I don't think it'll help. So the Chazon Ish writes in a letter that when a person leaves the house, they didn't have the phones in those days, that you should leave the house. You tell her where you're going and when you'll be back. It's a piece of advice. It's an awareness of, we'll talk about that, there's other elements why it's important. But the first one is, you want to, and then if you're not going to be, the obvious of stuff is that if you're not going to be, you should let your wife know. Okay. The next difference, again, there's no specific order. We'll do two more differences for tonight, and then we'll call it a night. The next difference is what we call relationship-oriented beings. This is an idea which I heard in a tape from a fellow named Arya Kamensky up in Toronto. I think he's up in Toronto. At least he was given this class in Toronto. I'm not sure if he's based in Toronto or not. And his theory is that women are relationship-oriented beings and men are not. So he gives the following scenario where he does his workshop for showing guys or couples, and they come as couples, and he has the women on one side, and then the other side he talks about. Okay, so the first assignment that he does is that he gives an assignment of X amount of questions that they have to decide about what they think about marriage, relationship, etc. You know, the men are supposed to work in one group, women are supposed to work in a second group, and fine. So after they finish the time that allotted for that, they're supposed to present their point, so he asked each group to point the spokesperson for that group. He says, okay, ladies group, so it's Rachel, and for the men groups, it's Beryl. And says, you know, Beryl, would you mind if Rachel goes first, ladies first? He says, no problem, okay. So Rachel gets up and says, okay, he says, Rachel, one second, before we start, tell me the names of all the ladies in your group. And she says, oh, there's Leah, there's Shani, and this is it. And how many kids do they have? Says, oh, Leah has 3 kids, and Shani has 1, etc. And where do they send their kids to school? And such, he goes on a few things. And he's watching Beryl go, and then Beryl's going to be very, very nervous. So Beryl, okay, before you give your answers, you know, what are the names of those? He says, I don't know. He says, and here he just presented his first point. A woman within a group immediately will make a connection with somebody. What's your name? What's the name of somebody in your family? Where you're from, etc. A man will discuss a specific thing and then talk about sports or fishing or learning or politics, whatever they are so inclined. And they will not make a connection with the person at all. So you'll have this conversation, you know, I met this old friend of mine. He says, oh, so how many kids does he have now? How is his wife doing? Where are they living now? What is he doing? He says, I don't know. He says, what are you speaking about? He says, oh, we spoke about sports. You know, a woman looks like you're crazy. Right? And for men, that's a normal conversation. So, the point that this Arya Kamensky, I don't know, he's a rabbi, Mr. whatever he is pointing out that women come into this relationship because the goal over here is to create a relationship. The women come in with a major advantage over the men. Because they are relationship-oriented people. And men are not, or are much less. And therefore, the point he has to be is that the women will carry more than their weight of making the relationship as long as the man allows the woman to do what she has to do. That's his suggestion, or his theory. Okay, interesting theory. The point that I'm bringing out right now is not so much, you know, whether that's, you know, to agree with that or not agree with that, but is that there's something to be aware of that women function differently. So a woman, if you're talking about differences, when I say languages, I don't mean necessarily words, I mean styles of how they approach something, how they deal with something. And for a man to be aware that it's important for his wife to be able to make this connection. The language that I would use it in is women, it goes back to the first idea of feeling, they need to have a certain perception. Women touch people through speech. So a woman has a strong need to talk. She wants to talk and talk and talk and talk with her husband, children, friends, etc. And the Chazal said that a woman got 9/10 of the speech is because a woman touches through speech. And that's a very important thing. So when a wife has a need, wants to talk to her husband, what she's doing is this is her way of connecting. This is the way how she connects. And you'll have children, which some children are quiet and some children are very verbose. The child is very verbose. Sometimes not in the mood of hearing what he has to say. Or, you know, just the whole day, it's just like, okay, I'm not interested anymore. The point is, no, this is how the child is going to touch you. He's going to connect you. He needs to feel connected with his parent, his father. The way he feels connected is by being able to talk to him. For him, that is a way to connect. For another kid, it's not like that. It's not necessarily that type of child. So the connection will be by being close proximity. This will be by sharing a project together. There's different ways of sharing it. For this type of child, the way to connect will be allowing the child to talk about everything which he went through with you. And that's true when it comes to the wife. She will share her whole day with you. That's her way of making sure that she's connected with you. The next thought which happens through this, because women are relationship-oriented beings, women have a ability to talk and have sentences and understand each other. And men don't understand them. Okay? So I had a chalutza, which I lived together with for 7 years. And it was interesting, after a certain point in time, we learned that it was so long, we understood how each other's thought processes work. We used to talk in half sentences. Like I would start my sentence and he would know exactly where I was going with it. We lived together for 7 years, and you know, got your mind. We knew each other's styles already. We knew how to, you know, oh, so you mean to say like this? Oh, like this, you know? So, say that men, it sometimes, you know, the husband says, you know, I really, really find what you say fascinating, but I really don't really understand exactly what your point you're saying. And most of them will get some rigid with it, like, why do you understand? I'm saying, you know, it's obvious what I mean. So the woman had that advantage. Now that really gets involved a little bit into verbal versus nonverbal. The women have intuition, which, touch on that idea. It goes back to this idea of the half-sentence things, comes up under that idea also. Okay, the third difference, and that's enough to swallow for the night. By now, you don't have to share them with me. You should be having some ahas and, you know, living the experience that you've had together with your cow. Oh, that's what happened over there. I usually get some point in time I get this smile and the guy says, what are you laughing about? Now I saw what I blew yesterday. Okay. Third point is what we call solar system. Okay? Solar system is a very important thing. The center of the solar system is the sun, and the earth revolves around the solar system. We all know that, right? But people's lives also have solar systems. So I have something which my life revolves around. Which means basically whatever I'm doing is going to be measured in terms, or most things I do are measured in terms of that thing my life revolves around. What is at the center of a man's universe? So, his work, his learning, his family, his hobbies, his car, many different things. What's in the center of a woman's universe? Her husband and her kids. That's it. Okay? I'll give you an example. I'll prove it to you. Okay? Scenario number one. Scenario number one is that the husband is sick at home and the wife is going off to work. So the first thing is the wife feels very guilty of leaving her husband sick at home, and she goes off to work, and she calls home from work about 3 or 4 times to see how he's doing, make sure that he's okay, make sure that he has what to eat, everything is okay, etc. She has even lunch break. She decides to take a long lunch break, and she runs, she's not too far away, she runs home to make sure that he has something to eat for lunch, etc. And at the end of the day, she is haggard. She left her sick husband at home, and it was so terrible, and she feels so guilty, and she feels so bad, she feels so much guilt, and she feels terrible that she, you know, did that to her husband. She had a terrible life. That's scenario number one. Scenario number two, wife is sick at home, nothing life-threatening, you know, wife is sick at home, the husband goes off to work, probably forgets about his wife. And he's busy at work. Right now he's focusing on work. So he's a good husband, so he remembers he's supposed to call. So one time he remembers he calls, one time, etc. Because end of the day, and he had a decent day at work. So I've asked him, how was your day at work? Code words. I know that if you had been sick and I went to work, I would have had a horrible day at work. How did you survive today at work? Husband, not knowing COVID, said, had a great day at work. Wife hears, you're a lover. Because her definition of love, based on her understanding of how things work, is that you could not have had a good day at work if you really love me. But I know I wouldn't. You don't love me. Husband says, what just happened? Right? Okay. So that's solar system. It's a very important concept. You can see that, you know, being feeling a little bit of an issue. We will talk about next time how to deal with solar systems. The solar system is a very significant point. And this is the concept, the way I understand, this is the concept that Zara said that a man can marry more than one wife, and a woman can only marry one man. Because a woman connects to a man extremely intensely, and the men do not connect as extremely. And that can be very wearing down for a man. If a woman is a person who feels a strong need to feel that, not all women do. If they have it, the person they need to express it a lot. Some people just have it and need to express it. And sometimes that they find that a little bit, men find it overwhelming sometimes. So the man becomes the focus of a woman's day. So therefore, now, let me like this. When the wife asks the husband, so I gave the following scenario. Women like new clothes. Okay? Women like buying new clothes. So wife goes out to the store. In Russia nowadays we have this Kabbalah concept called returns. In America, you have to return it from. So wife goes out to the store, comes back. I want to tell you, I told this idea once, it was a passage of advice for the public, and I had this gentleman over there, probably married 50 years, let's say close to 50 years. I had the guy on the floor. The guy was plotting. Mama, he couldn't control himself. So if they gave a scenario and then they said, you know, you're in my house or something, like, you know, life is up to such, you buy two new dresses. Two or three new dresses with intention of coming home, trying them on for her husband, and the one that he likes, she'll keep and she'll return the other one or two. Okay? Sounds great. Comes home, she tries on dress number one, dress number two, dress number three. Okay, which one do you like? Poor husband cannot tell the difference between dress number one, dress number two, dress number three. And they don't make much of a difference to him. So he's a very smart guy, husband, and he figures he's going to get some brownie points. His brownie points will be to say, dear, you are so beautiful that whatever you wear looks nice. Now, I mean, what's better than that? Right? And the wife says, you don't want the dresses, do you? Husband says, what did I do wrong? I had the guy on the floor. On the floor. Bam! You know, something like this. The senior has been in his house more than once, more than twice. This fellow was a vice president of a major, a multi-billion dollar corporation. The guy has been through this for 40 years and he couldn't figure it out. I said, it's very simple. You think that the wife went to the store to buy clothes because she likes buying new clothes. You're wrong. She went to the store to buy new clothes because she wants to please you. Because you're the focus of her life. So she buys new clothes that you should be happy with her new clothes. So she put on that outfit to make you happy. And what did you say? I couldn't care less what you did. That's very devastating. Very insulting. I mean, l'chavdol, you know, imagine a person, there's this Avodah Zoronik, and he puts together his korban for the Avodah Zorah, he comes to his getcha, and he puts it down, and the getcha says, not interested. He'd be devastated. Well, for a woman, the husband is the getcha. he's the focus. And she did it to please him. So women make peace with the wretched. They say, you know what, he's uninterested. But it's painful for them. So the person has to be, understand where she's coming from. The person walks into the house and he says, do you like it? He says, do you like what? He says, don't you see the difference? He says, am I supposed to know the difference? Her, in her clothing, in her makeup, in her spouse speech, in the house, in the car. What's supposed to be different? Don't you see the difference? You know? No. I moved that potted plant from that corner to that corner. Doesn't it look nicer in that corner? The fellow never knew there was a potted plant in that corner. So what about putting it in that corner? He says, oh, it's very nice, yeah. What's the problem? The problem is the woman assumes that he noticed it. And she moved it because she wants her husband to be happy with the way the house goes. So her goal was to make the husband happy. The husband basically rejects her by doing that. So I'm uninterested in what you just did. What would you like for supper, dear? Man says?
Whatever.
Whatever, right? Right? The wife says, no, tell me. Right?
How are you supposed to pretend?
Have you ever heard this conversation ever take place in your house?
Oh,
it's a thing of life, right? Okay? What has happened? He says, I want to please you. I want to make something which you would like. Tell me what you would like. I like everything. Means nothing. No, what do you really like? You know, I don't know what this is available in the house. I don't know what you can do. I don't want to make any burden on you. I don't want to, you know, No, please tell me. Oh, okay, you know, make me hamburgers. We don't have any ground meat. Oh, I feel so terrible. You ask for hamburgers and how many ground meat? The guy says, oh, man. Right? You can't win, right? It's YCW. Remember a phrase in our house, YCW, you can't win. You can't win. Places sell out with kids all the time. You cannot win. You get this reality of life. Remember that, YCW. So, so at least after a while you learn, you say, you know, tell me what there is available. I'll say what I like. So at least, you know, you're not going to make that stupid mistake, you know. So that's what we have. This little, you know, that's not really. But the point is, she wants to please you. She wants to, her focus is not, she enjoys making food. She enjoys making food because it's, she wants to make something nice for her husband and her family. And if they ignore it, it's difficult for her. Because it's a rejection. Okay. Third example of this. Husband comes home from work. Third area of this. Husband comes home from work and had a hard day at work. He opens the door, he walks in with a frown on his face. My wife says, why are you upset at me? I'm not upset at you. So why do you have a frown on your face? I have to say at work. Why did you assume he was upset at her? Right. He just came back from work. He was probably upset at her because she is extrapolating. The focus of the day is not the work. The focus of the day is her, as far as she's concerned. And if he's frowning, he's upset at her. Right? So she interprets it as a rejection. He does not mean it as a rejection. He means it, you know, just he was focusing on that part of his, you know, that you know, sun. He has many suns in the middle of his universe. He has the sun which is shining on him and facing him, which is called work. Right now he's focused, he's absorbed in that. And when he gets home, he'll be absorbed in the next thing. But he didn't switch yet. Now you understand why a woman takes it so overwhelming when the husband is not home. Or the husband stays out late and she's worried about it. For her, it's a major, this is like, her universe is collapsing. Where is my husband? Or why it means so much to the woman that the husband's next to her, or just nearby, or at home. I heard from one of my chaverim, older chaverim yeshiva, and then I saw a story written which is almost parallel, that it reminded me very much of the same story about, he never lived at home. And one night it didn't work out, and he had a little at home. And his wife's eyes were shining. You know, the hanoah of having her husband sitting at home and learning that she was taking care of him and having something to eat. You know, it was, so that's the positive part of it. When you give your wife attention, so she feels very validated. And when she perceives that the husband is not giving her attention, or worse, she takes it very much personally. So, again, if you go back to the cloud of Moshe Ram Tzimon, so the husband does not mean to indicate his wife, he's rejecting her or anything like that, because you don't like to reject your wife. Her definition of getting feelings of rejection are quite different than a man's. And here's the challenge, is to learn how to see the world from somebody else's eyes. Quite challenging.